Recently, you must have heard in the news that United States had conducted airstrikes in the eastern part of Syria, where they have targeted facilities which belong to the militant groups that are supported by Iran. In this video, we'll understand why United States did that and how did they do it, what is United States' purpose in Syria, and we'll try to make sense of all of this. Last month on Tuesday, 23rd August, the US President Joe Biden ordered an airstrike in Deir ez-Zor province of eastern Syria. United States targeted infrastructure facilities, ammunition depots used by militant groups that are affiliated with Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the short form is IRGC. Now, you may think that the United States must have used a drone, similar to the one that United States did a month ago in July against the Al-Qaeda chief Zawahiri in Afghanistan. But then this time the US did not use a drone. I'll tell you what they used in a while. Now, the militant group that was targeted by the United States are known by the name Fatemiyah Group. And always remember this point, if Iran supports any militant group, that group will consist of Shia fighters, because Iran is a Shia country. Let me quickly tell you who are Fatemiyah Group. This group is supported by Iran, and members in this group are recruited from Shia Afghan refugee population that resides in Iran. During the Afghan conflict, many Shia Afghan migrated to Iran to save their lives. It is believed that Iran recruits men from this Shia Afghan refugee population and deploys them in Syria and Iraq. And by the way, these Shia Afghan refugees belong to the Hazara community of Afghanistan. And this community forms around 9-10% of Afghanistan's total population. Pashtuns and Tajiks are in majority. That means Hazaras are in minority. And by the way, you must be aware of the Shia-Sunni rivalry among Muslims. The Afghan Taliban follows Sunni Islam and they don't like Shia Muslims. There is a serious animosity between them. And by the way, if you remember when the United States was leaving Afghanistan and they handed over the country to Taliban, one of the main concerns of Taliban, or you can also say fear of Afghan Taliban, was the Fatemiyah Group. Taliban thinks that the Hazara Shia community that resides in Afghanistan are giving shelter as well as support to the Fatemiyah Group, who are also Iran's proxy forces. Taliban always had a hostile relationship with Iran because of religious indifferences, and Taliban thinks Iran is using the Fatemiyah Group to gain influence in Afghanistan. Similarly, now if you see in Afghanistan, the Hazaras and other Shia ethnic groups have begun taking up arms and they are forming small militias, which is actually a matter of concern for Taliban. And that is the reason you will often hear that Taliban frequently targets the Shia community in Afghanistan. So anyhow, Iran has deployed Afghan Shia Fatemiyah fighters in Syria to fight ISIS on behalf of President Bashar al-Assad. Always remember, Iran and Russia supports Bashar al-Assad, President of Syria. On the other side, United States, Europe, Saudi Arabia, even Turkey, they are against Bashar al-Assad. If you want to know more about the participants in the Syrian civil war, I have a video on how Turkey got into the grey list of FATF. In that, I've explained about United States and Turkey relations, and then further, I have also explained who all are fighting in Syria. Watch that video, you will get an idea about the participating countries and their proxy forces and interest groups. I'll put the link of that video in the top right corner. Anyhow, the Afghan Shia Fatemiyah Group is supported by Iran's IRGC. In 2019, the US Treasury Department designated the Fatemiyah Group as a terrorist organization for providing material support to Iran's IRGC forces. United States Treasury Department also said that Iran exploits the Afghan refugees and recruits them to fight on behalf of them in Syria. So these are the allegations of United States, and that is how in 2019, the US government designated Fatemiyah Group as a terrorist organization. Now try to understand this. On Tuesday 23rd, United States conducted an airstrike on the Fatemiyah Group in eastern Syria. Why do you think all of a sudden United States conducted an airstrike in Syria? It's been a long time that we have heard any news from Syria. So here, what you need to understand is that there are roughly around 900 to 1000 US soldiers in Syria. Of course, 1000 soldiers are less, but there are groups, or you can say proxy forces, that are supported by the United States government. If any other country supports any proxy forces, we call them militia or militant groups. On the other hand, if United States government support any group, it is called US-led coalition. In fact, a lot of people inside United States don't know that their troops are still doing operations in Syria. And if you have watched my video on Turkey, in that I have mentioned that there is a group called Syrian Democratic Forces, and the United States military helps that group in fighting ISIS. So what happened was on 15th August, a number of drones targeted United States military base known as Al-Tanf in eastern Syria. Although there were no casualties apart from some minor injuries, but there were some damages to the US military base. Now, as per the United States government, this attack was done by Fatemiya Group. And as I said, they're supported by Iran's IRGC. And by the way, this was a drone attack. Not one, multiple drones were used. And if you're following the news, you will know that Iran's drone industry is underrated. Iran is investing heavily in drone research. In fact, this year, Iran launched its first naval drone carrier division. And then we also have heard in the news that Iran is supplying drones to Russia. So it is said that Fatemiya Group first attacked the US military base on 15th August with multiple drones. That means Iran is testing its drones by using it in Syria. Syria is a perfect place for testing drone before selling it to the other countries. And by the way, any conflict zone ultimately turns into a testing zone for latest weapons. It's like the whole world is watching a game and they are picking their favorites. Anyhow, in response, the United States conducted the airstrike on 23rd August, exactly after 1 week. And by the way, United States did not use drones. They used Apache attack helicopters and AC-130 gunships. American planes dropped guided bombs on bunkers and other military hardware that are supposed to be the facilities of Fatemiya Group and other groups affiliated to the IRGC. Now, in this US airstrike, an Iranian general was also killed. This is the second time an Iranian general was killed. If you remember, in 2020, General Qasem Soleimani was assassinated in an US airstrike. Now, if you look at it from United States' perspective, they say that everyone who belongs to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps is a terrorist. And it is the United States' responsibility to protect the US troops as well as their ground partners in Syria. Similarly, if you look at it from Iran's side, they think that the continuous presence of the US forces in certain parts of Syria is against international laws and it violates Syria's sovereignty. And Iran also thinks that the reason United States is not leaving Syria is because they are stealing the country's wealth, that is oil, in the name of fighting terrorism. If you look at the map of Syria, how do you think United States is able to keep its presence in Syria? It is because of Turkey. The whole of North as well as Northeastern Syria is occupied by Kurdish militant groups, YPG, PKK and one political group called PYD. As per Iran, these two militant groups are terrorist organization. And this political group is a left-leaning group installed and supported by the United States for creating instability in Syria. It is similar to what United States think about Fatemiya Group and IRGC. And by the way, the US government supports YPG and PKK. These militant groups are United States ground forces in Syria. YPG and PKK are subgroups of SDF, Syrian Democratic Forces. And PYD, that is Democratic Union Party, is a Kurdish left-wing political party. Always remember, whenever you see this word democracy or democratic, just remember, United States supports it. The United States always supported the Syrian Democratic Forces since the beginning of the Syrian war, that is since 2011. That means the US also indirectly supports YPG and PKK. These groups, SDF, YPG, PKK, consist of members primarily from Kurdish ethnic group and also some Arabic and Assyrian group who live in the regions of South Turkey, North Syria and North Iraq. Now, because of the United States' help and support, the Kurdish militant groups, that is SDF, YPG, PKK, they have defeated the ISIS, Daesh terrorist organization, at least in the northern part of Syria. And they also have strong hold of the territories of the northern Syria. And that is how United States has established military bases, airfields and many facilities in northern Syria. Now have a look at this map. The blue color area are gas fields and black color area are oil fields. The western, central and the southern part of Syria, basically this whole region, is under the control of Syrian government, that is Bashar al-Assad, who is also the president of Syria. And I have already told you, Turkey, United States, Saudi Arabia, they are against the Syrian government. On the other side, Iran and Russia, they support the Syrian government. Bashar al-Assad is an Alawite, who are the second largest religious group in Syria after Sunni Muslims. And Iran is also a Shia country, so naturally they will support Bashar al-Assad. And one more interesting thing that you have to understand is that Syria is a Sunni majority country and yet the president, that is Bashar al-Assad, who is Shia, he is ruling Syria. And if you see, Turkey is also a Sunni majority country, similarly Saudi Arabia. And somewhere the Turkish president Erdogan and the Saudi prince Mohammed bin Salman and many other Sunni majority Muslim countries in the Middle East, they don't like Bashar al-Assad. And then United States' Middle Eastern policy is primarily based on Shia-Sunni rivalry. And you can also see that United States is usually friendly with Islamic country that follows Sunni Islam. If you remember, President Barack Obama was also against Bashar al-Assad. Obama was in full support of the Syrian regime change. And if you remember in 2013, it was United States who accused the Syrian government for using chemical weapons. As per United States, United Nations, and OPCW investigations, they have accused the Syrian government and the Islamic State militants for doing chemical warfare. See, one thing that you need to understand is that everyone in Syria is supposedly fighting the ISIS. At least that is what they make us think. Whether it is United States-backed rebel forces, or whether it is Russia, Iran, or Bashar al-Assad's government, everyone is fighting the ISIS. At least that's what we all are supposed to perceive. Now, what the United States did was, in 2013, they accused the Syrian government and the Islamic State militant, that is the ISIS, for using chemical weapons on the people of Syria. Basically, United States accused the ISIS and the Syrian government jointly for doing chemical warfare. And obviously, the Syrian government denied those allegations. And if you remember, Russia used its veto power in the United Nations Security Council to end the probe against Syria. In fact, Russia even said that the chemical attack in Syria was staged by United States and its allies with the help of local proxy forces. And always remember, this whole Syrian civil war started in 2011, right after the end of the war in Iraq. As a result, United States government had no appetite for military intervention in Syria after the Iraq war. So what they did was, they started supporting proxy forces in Syria. In the name of fighting ISIS, these United States-backed proxy forces were also fighting the Syrian government, that is Bashar al-Assad's regime. And by the way, another important point that you need to understand is that Turkish airspace as well as land routes were used by the NATO forces to enter Iraq. As you can see, Turkey shares its southern border with Syria and Iraq. So you can imagine how much the United States and the NATO forces had to depend on Turkey for its war supply. To cut the long story short, Russia and Iran even today support Bashar al-Assad's government. And on the other side, Turkey and United States are against Bashar al-Assad's government. They don't want him to be in power. That is why, in the name of fighting ISIS, United States-backed proxy forces are also fighting the Syrian government and their allies, that is Iran and Russia. Again, let's get back to the map. As I said, the blue color area are gas fields and black color area are oil fields. The western, central and southern part of Syria, basically this whole region, is under the control of the Syrian government, that is Bashar al-Assad. It is said that the Iranian drones attacked the US military base of Al-Tanf, which is right here, very near to the Iraqi border. And by the way, if you see this particular military base, it is very much in the area that is in control of the Syrian government. The government of Syria officially considers this particular US military base as an illegal occupation of the Turkish and United States troops on its territory. That is the reason the drone strike on this illegal US military base is justified by the Syrian government and its allies. In return, United States sent its warplanes and they did an airstrike in the province of Deir ez-Zor, which is here. In the beginning of this video, I said United States had established military bases, airfields, and many facilities in northern Syria. In total, Washington has 2 air bases, 8 military points in areas that are in control of YPG, PKK, PYD groups. Basically, the whole of north and northeastern Syria, this yellow region. And the 2 US air bases are located here. So the American warplanes must have took off from either of these 2 airports. Usually, it is believed that this particular airbase is large enough for cargo planes to land, and the Harab Isk base is used for military operations. Now, surprisingly, if you look at the oil regions of Syria, a good amount of it is located in the northeastern part. In other words, the region which is under the control of United States and Turkey-backed rebel forces. That is the reason United States, under President Trump, did not withdraw all of their troops from northern Syria. In fact, United States Defense Secretary Mark Esper has said, and I quote, US troops are there to stop oil-rich regions in Syria to fall into the hands of Islamic State fighters. As I've already said, United States, in the name of fighting ISIS, they are also fighting the Syrian government, Russian and Iranian forces. Now, you have to understand what is United States' benefit in keeping Syria unstable. In fact, the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has accused the United States of stealing oil from his own country. And surprisingly, whether you call it a slip of tongue or straightforwardness, even Donald Trump has admitted that the US military presence in Syria is only for the oil. So basically, he contradicted United States' broader narrative, which the United States government has been propagating for decades in the name of fighting ISIS. See, always remember this point. If United States wants something from a country in terms of natural resources or gaining leverage in terms of geostrategic importance, always remember this. If at all United States does not get what they want through straightforward diplomacy, the next step that they often take is create a conflict or engineer a conflict. They create a conflict, or in other words, they mess up the place in such a way that no one else can gain control. It's like, if I can't have it, I will not let anyone else have it. And that is exactly what happened in Syria. Now, you may think that Syria is being ruled by a dictator called Bashar al-Assad, because that's the Western narrative that has been fed to us by the Western media. And that is why many of us even think that if it's a dictator ruling a country, then United States is doing the right thing. The US is trying to bring democracy, peace, human rights, and all of those fancy terms. But this is where you have to stop and think for a second. There are many countries that are being ruled by dictators, but United States has good friendly relationship with them. I'm talking about Qatar, UAE, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait. United States does not have any problem with them, but apparently, United States has a problem with Bashar al-Assad in Syria. As I've mentioned, since Barack Obama's presidency, United States has been actively trying hard to overthrow Bashar al-Assad's government. But they couldn't do it because the Russian President Vladimir Putin interfered and supported Bashar al-Assad. When Russia interfered, obviously United States cannot confront Russia directly in Syria. Today also in the Russia-Ukraine war, who do you think is pulling the strings? Obviously it is the United States. But nowhere it says that United States is directly fighting with Russia. So, United States cannot confront Russia directly in Syria. And that is how the war of proxy forces began in Syria. There are so many rebel forces that are fighting against the Syrian government. And now it is no more a hidden secret. United States is supporting many of the rebel forces, as I mentioned, YPG, SDF, PKK. In fact, I also want to bring your attention to this point. In Syria, even the ISIS, or you can also call them Daesh, they are also fighting against Bashar al-Assad's government forces. Since the Iraqi war, we have been constantly hearing that the United States is fighting the ISIS. Isn't it strange? In Syria, ISIS is fighting against the Syrian government, Russian forces, and Iranian forces. So do you see what kind of game is being played? And if you remember in 2015, there was a news headline which became quite popular. I don't know whether you have heard of it. It said, "Where did ISIS get all those Toyota trucks?" Read about it. There are some amazing explanations that will blow your mind. Anyhow, so United States' main objective in Syria is to gain control of oil and gas fields. American oil producers sell oil to countries that need it and who are willing to pay the price. American oil producing companies are willing to sell the best products they can from the best sources they can find. If you want to understand United States' oil strategy, it's very simple. Why do you think after the Gulf War of 1991, why has there been a rise of American forces and US military bases in the oil-rich region of Middle East? There are two reasons behind it. One, by increasing US military presence, United States wants to use its political leverage to help American businesses as well as Europe to win contracts as well as increase their exports in these regions, especially in the field of military and aerospace. Have a look at this data. Look at the European exports and United States export in the Middle East since 1989. And the second reason is, by increasing the military presence, US wants to deny the control of such vast natural resources in the hands of their enemies, so that they don't become even more powerful and threaten US hegemony. For example, if these oil-rich areas of northeastern Syria falls in the hands of Syrian government, that is Bashar al-Assad, then obviously Iran, Russia would also benefit from it, and they will become more problematic to the United States than they already are. By taking control of additional oil reserves, groups of countries can come together and they can create policies that can potentially disrupt oil supplies around the world. They can control prices and whatnot. So whether or not countries like Syria, Iraq, and Iran will pose a threat to United States, it's a debatable question. Because if you see, United States sanctions have literally destroyed the Iranian economy. And Iraq and Syria, as you know, they have been completely destroyed. It will take many years to rebuild them. So if at all United States leave Iraq and Syria, will these countries pose a threat to United States? We don't know. And to be very frank, no, they will not pose any threat. Because these countries are not in a position to pose any kind of threat to United States. But then if you see, these countries are potential threat to the United States allies in the region, like Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. And you will notice the GCC countries, Gulf Cooperation countries, they always have American military backing to defend their oil fields, whether it is Bahrain, Kuwait, Qatar, or Saudi. US forces are spread throughout the Gulf region. So the GCC countries need American backing, and the United States in return needs their cooperation. Even the GCC countries knows about this relationship with US. I have made a video on Joe Biden's trip to Saudi Arabia. Watch that video, you will realize how US is trying hard to normalize relationship with Saudi. That is when you will realize that US really needs GCC countries' cooperation badly. So anyhow, Gulf region is secured by US, but the oil fields of northern Syria and Iraq, US doesn't want to let go the control of such vast resources from falling in the hands of its opponents. I hope you found this video informative, and thank you for watching it.